Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 5 of Goddamn GameCube. If you like our show, please leave us a rating on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. Thank you, and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Riley are your hosts today, and today we are talking about Celeste. And I want to start right off the bat here about why we're covering Celeste. We're covering Celeste for two reasons. The first reason being we've made it a tradition on the show that we're covering a slate of indie games every season. There's going to be a couple of episodes involving indies. And the second reason why we're covering Celeste, there's some humor here. During season one of Goddamn GameCube, I got my ass handed to me by our fans and our detractors. I made some comment about Celeste a few years back. I don't remember exactly what the quote was. The quote was something like, I've never played Celeste. I'm just not very interested in playing it, or like, I don't care about it. It was something like that.
Well, we were going down, if I remember correctly. We did a couple episodes early on with the top 100 games of the decade, as well as the console generation. I think Celeste came up on at least one of them. And a lot of games, people gave us a lot of shit because we hadn't played a lot of them yet. And we were a little dismissive at the time. But
I think it's kind of funny, though, like, because we're now covering it literally years later.
Yeah, we get around to everything eventually. But yeah. No, we finally played it.
Yeah,
this is a 2D platformer game about a young woman named Madeline who is attempting to climb a mountain with a strange power called Celeste. And you and I both thought that initially that Celeste was the name of the person.
Yeah, I remember I said to you off mic, I said, I thought Celeste would be the name of the character. It's the name of the mountain.
The name of the mountain. And what I found out, I'm not sure if you were aware of this, there is a real Mount Celeste in British Columbia. Which is what they named it at. I mean, that's where the similarities end. But it's on Vancouver Island.
Okay.
It's up there. This is supposed to take place in the same like region, I think. The real Celeste is only about 1,900 feet high, while the fictional Celeste is closer to 10,000.
Okay.
So it's an exaggeration. But you mentioned, kind of trying to make good on our flippance from the past.
I want to make it known, in season one, we did not say we didn't like it. We just didn't we didn't play it.
We hadn't played it yet, but there is quite a lot of critical acclaim.
Yes.
There's a very, very loyal, devoted fan base. I think the art style looks awesome, like during gameplay especially, it looks awesome. And a lot of adoration by like the queer community was a huge kind of factor in like, It's very highly spoken about with respect to the messages that people are taking away from it. And I think the first time I actually heard about it was a Donkey video.
Really?
Because he was playing it. He was recommending it at the end of a year. And it was, it's an incredible indie game experience developed by Maddie Makes Games, or I think Extremely Okay Games is the other.
I think Maddie Makes Games became Extremely Okay Games. Is that right?
I believe so. 2018 it came out. They also developed Towerfall in 2013. Did you play that one?
No, I didn't, but I'm aware of it.
And they have apparently a new game coming out this year called Earthblade.
Correct.
So that's kind of interesting. And this what we're talking about right now, Celeste, is truly actually a reimagining of a very simple game that was created by, the director's name is Maddie Thorson and programmer slash artist Noel Berry, during a 4-day game jam, which we talked about this previously in the Donut County episode.
Correct.
It's one of those, it's kind of a thing where you just rush to create a game as fast as possible using as limited resources as possible for the Pico 8, which is a little more complicated than this description, but in this context, it's basically a game engine that mimics the capabilities of a 1980s, like 8-bit game.
Sure.
And the entirety of that is playable in this game as like an arcade cabinet.
Oh, that's cool.
And I did finish it. I want to say that.
That's cool.
I want to get that on the record. But just getting into how it plays. It's mostly jumping dashing and holding onto walls.
Yes.
And you just, you know, kind of similar to like classic Mario stuff, avoiding hazards and pitfalls.
And you have a hidden stamina meter because you can only like climb up vertically up a surface for so long.
Exactly. And I like that a lot.
I do too.
And I wanted to mention too that I don't know how deep into these like fan videos that you watched, but there are so many things that you can do in this game that I just didn't do.
Okay.
Like a lot more advanced moves you can pull. Like if you've sunk how many hours into this game, you can pull off these really incredible things that are just kind of under the hood.
Yeah.
Like there's a very high skill ceiling, we'll say. Our very lively speedrunning community as well seems to make very good use of all these tricks. Some of these, I would say, are even like it's really like the difference of a few pixels between life and death. Watching like the GIFs and videos, I was just like, I need like a frame by frame of what's happening here.
Yes.
Like it's so like the level that some people are playing at, I'm just like, I'm totally like I'm in the woods.
I think
here.
Like kind of right off the bat here, what I find interesting about this game is you do have a death counter.
Yeah.
And so I can't remember the exact quote from the developer where they said something like it wasn't too different from what Dark Souls Miyazaki says about games, where the developer of this game does not find the game to be difficult. They find it is the kind of curve or the kind of game they wanted to make.
Yeah.
Which does that make sense? Where no, we're not doing it to be punishing. We like games that are balanced this way where you have to learn.
Yeah. And it I think, you know, there's some room for improvement, which we'll get into. But in terms of, I think that fits like the theme of the game pretty well.
Yeah. 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 Like perseverance, whatever.
Better than it would otherwise. A lot of like the kind of tricks that I was talking about, mostly just kind of dashing or bouncing at the right times. But what I find really interesting, there's like situations where if you are facing the same direction as spikes, like they won't hurt you.
Oh,
and like if you're jumping like towards a array of spikes, but you're in the same direction, it's not going to affect you at all.
Interesting,
which is pretty cool. And there's also what they called a coyote time, like Wile E. Coyote, where if you walk off the edge of a cliff, there will be a very small grace period where you can jump in midair. Like you're
oh, okay.
You have a little bit of freedom there. Like if you know the timing pretty well, which is helpful. And you also have, you know, various environmental assets that either amplify or modify the game in some way. Like you bounce on the clouds. There's the star blocks and the bubbles that accelerate your dashes.
You're right.
The green gems, they replenish your dashes. And then you get the golden feather towards the end. A couple different, like, you know, pretty standard stuff. But if that's like, you know, it's I think it's overall like they didn't throw too much at me.
Well, this game, for a game that has very few mechanics, it's considered to be a masochistic, like, level platforming game.
Yeah. And especially with respect to the opt-in challenges kind of thing. Like, if you're someone who's, like obsessed with this game and you just need it to be, like, challenged. Like, there's, like, the strawberries and stuff.
Sure.
And there's, like, the B-sides and C-sides, which are, like, even harder and that kind of thing. What did you think about, in general, like, I think I went for a fair amount of the strawberries. You didn't go for as many. What did you think about like just the straight up gameplay of what you had to do, like the fairness of it?
So I think I was typing this to you off mic. I think it was in one of our chats. I said, I think I have a problem with this game, but I'm not sure if it's a problem or not. Where I feel like this game has no rhythm and no sense of pacing, but I think it's on purpose.
Yeah.
Where each jump and each obstacle is so precise and there is very little room for error and every failure is game over, almost. And so it's hard for me to put my finger on or sort of summarizing this gameplay beyond it is very, very precise platforming, and I'm not sure. I'm debating saying I'm not sure what the intention is. I think the intention is they want you to fail and learn, but I'm not sure how much I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, we talked about Limbo a lot recently, which is kind of a similar thing where you touch one hazard, you die
yes.
instantly. And it's, I think I like it well enough in this game where you're back in the action. So it's kind of like a Rayman thing.
Sure. There's no loading screen upon game over. You immediately reload and try it again.
Yeah. I think if it didn't have that, it would be a lot more frustrating than sure. It is. You can try a lot of things without losing a ton of your time.
Yeah.
I think is the advantage of that.
I think if I were to compare this game to a game like Rayman Legends,
yeah,
and Origins, where Rayman Legends and Origins are really fast-paced, difficult platformers,
yeah,
but they have a rhythm to them. Like mm-hmm. There's a music to those games. Like when you start to get into a rhythm of running and jumping, you can really feel it. There's no feeling it in Celeste, if you ask me. It's just brutal, like room after room after room of challenges.
As it goes along,
yes.
I think and there's. When you do finally get it, that's where the rhythm comes in. But it will, depending on your experience level with platformers, et cetera, and your comfort for this kind of thing, it can take you. Like, there were some challenges that were
correct.
Like, totally broke my balls.
Yes, me too. Many times.
And I mean, we're going to get into a lot of the metaphorical context for this, the work as a whole. But I think a moment that struck me at a certain point was like, man, this challenge or whatever I was doing, I was like, this is so sadistic. And like, I think maybe that's what they're getting at, is like certain things in life feel sadistic. Like, why can't this just be easier?
Right, 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 right.
And it's like, I think it suits the game's narrative pretty well. I think it's one of those things where like if someone has it out for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't beat you fair and square, they're gonna try to get you on the technicality. And there's
sure.
a lot of technicalities in this, like
yes.
the level design, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think also the difficulty also gives a little bit more substance than some of the indie platforms. Like, it's a game with a capital G.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know, there's
yeah,
a
for sure.
There's like versus like kind of a more atmosphere oriented game. This is like
a gamer's game for sure.
Yeah,
more than you'd think.
It's not a cutesy game too much. I do personally feel like some bits went on for too long.
Yes.
I'm sure some of it was intentional, but I'm speaking more from like a pacing perspective in terms of like the chapter length. Like the ebb and flow of like the challenge and release didn't really feel right to me, sort of dragged it. Like at the end of, I think it was like the haunted house chapter, where I was just like, is this still going on? You
yes.
know, like
yeah.
I'm like, I get it. Like, I get yep. the whole ghost those thing, you know, it just felt like it was going on a little too long.
Yep.
For me personally. I did want to highlight one thing in particular, which kind of differs from Miyazaki. It was talking about the accessibility options. There's a lot of praise for that, where you can turn on invincibility, unlimited dashes, or slowing down the game. So if it's something that, and the director Maddie Thorson mentioned this, she addressed like, from my perspective as the game's designer, assist mode does break the game. I spent many hours fine tuning the difficulty of Celeste, so it's easy for me to feel precious about the design. Ultimately, we do want to empower the player and give them a good experience, and sometimes that means letting go. What do you think about that quote?
Yeah, I was actually going to bring it up before you did, where I was recalling where I believe Maddie did have a quote where she said, like, she tuned the game specifically to play like this.
Yeah.
And she, from what I gather, she does not like, you know, assist modes, easy modes, breaking the game's difficulty that she tried so hard to tune. But for her, I think the quote goes on to say, I could be misphrasing this, I believe she goes on to say that if it lets more people play it and experience it, then that's okay with me if it's a separate mode.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I think it says a lot about, you know, the ego or lack thereof, where
sure.
she's okay with that. You know,
right.
I appreciate that.
Wait, just to be clear, you and I did it on straight up. Like, I did it on straight up normal.
I did too, yeah.
Yep.
I uploaded a video getting a very tough strawberry on our YouTube channel, if there's any doubt.
A video called Tricky Strawberry.
Tricky Strawberry. Wait, so did you do any of these?
I purposely avoided strawberries. Like, I didn't bother.
The thing about it is that
I maybe got 12 the whole game.
It was, I think I got, there's like close to 200. I think I got 104.
Okay.
And it's the thing about it is that it's what I like about them is that they're right there. They're not like vital. And they really, one thing that I would say is a very strong positive here. Is that they don't show you the counter until the end of the level.
Yes.
So you don't, I'm not like obsessing in the middle of the level. Like, where the fuck is that last one? And as I was thinking about like how this contrasts with, we were talking about Condemned 2.
Yes.
Where you, it's showing you like your ranking in the middle of a mission. And it's just like, don't do that. Like, I'm trying to get into it here, you know? Yep. So I like that it wasn't, it was less like invasive than some other collectibles. And it's sometimes too, like it's within sight. I'm like, it's within reach, you know,
let's
like
try it. Or you're blown right by it. Might as well try.
Yeah. And I think what else it does is that if you do some of those, it kind of improves your reflexes and your general performance.
Sure.
In the game
it increases
as well.
Your knowledge on how the game works.
Yeah. Like there was a part where you told me you were stuck on for a while with like an elevator platform or something. Yep. And I think I had seen it earlier in a strawberry challenge.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I know what to do here. But if you weren't doing that, you would have no fucking
clue. Yeah, it was one of these puzzles where if you ride the elevator up, it gives you momentum to jump better or jump bigger.
Jump
but I
higher.
Didn't understand that.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so it gives you a little preview of that or just kind of improves your understanding of the game. Well, you know what I struggled with is during the wind level when you have to climb up the wall with nothing but just like the A button.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck do I do?
Yeah.
That was really confusing. But overall, I do say, I would say that like, I enjoy the way it plays, like in terms of the, like the fluidity and like the control, the degree of control that you have over your jumps and everything. I like the wall climbing a lot, which is not something you see in every platformer like this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. I mean, it's just like little gripes here and there about like, all right, that one, I don't know if that one was my fault. You know, there's a couple moments like that, or it's like you could have given me a little bit more.
Or like there's essentially every room in the game is like no margin for error. Like you couldn't have just like let me jump back and try it again. Everything is game over.
Yeah, like, it's like you do it in one try or you're fucked. But overall, I would say that I enjoyed playing it. What do we think about the, strictly for gameplay, the art style and the sound design?
I don't know if I've ever seen a game that looks like this and plays like this combined.
Yeah.
Where you have like a 16-bit platformer, but a lot of it is like vertical and physics-based.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot, almost like a really fast-paced like original Rayman or... I'm not going to say Metroid, but a little bit of like this climbing. And it's interesting. Well,
the way they have the area set up in particular is very like
very
Metroid-y.
Vertical. Yeah.
Kind of similar to Hollow Knight in places, I guess.
Yes.
And there's what I really like the way that they create, you know, color gradients. There's a lot of like cool sunrises and stuff like that. And something I didn't want to overlook is you brought up the stamina earlier and how they portray that. I thought was very... economical.
Yes.
Where after a dash, like the your hair changes color.
Yep.
And then when you're climbing, as your stamina is running out, you see her start to like sweat or exert a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. And with respect to the sound design, always a big fan of gibberish speak. Number one.
Yeah. Rayman speak.
And I think it's pretty impressive that despite the fact that every character talks using this way, they all have their kind of own voices, like the way that they're
their own gibberish
stuff.
Speak.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Adjacent, what do we think about the when they're talking to each other or the UI kind of art style?
Okay. I think it's interesting how like the game looks 16-bitty, but when you have like a cinematic or when dialogue boxes show up, it's more modern in 3D. I think it's fine. I didn't really think about it until you brought it up, how they're contrasting.
Yeah.
I feel like perhaps, you know what it is? You get to at least see the characters' faces because in a 16-bit game, you wouldn't.
Right.
You kind of get to, I think it's trying to give you a more personal relationship with what they look like.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think the art style in particular was not really to my taste, but like, I like that about it. I like the purpose it serves. And I like how legible it is. I thought that was a very, very strong asset of the
game. I also think what they're doing is they're trying to like purposely break down like ludonarrative like aspects of the game where they're almost trying to disconnect the climbing from the conversations. Like, Madeline is not going to die 1,000 times, like, to reach this mountain. She's going to die none times.
Right.
Right? I feel like they're trying to be like, no, the conversations are pushing the story forward, but the climbing is the 16-bit part. Like, they're almost like they're not... Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like... They're visually different on purpose.
Like the conversations are reality, and the climbing is more metaphorical.
Metaphorical, that's right. A great way to put it.
Yeah, I like that interpretation of it for sure. And I also like... During the menu, when you see the 3D model of the mountain and you see where each area is in relation to each other.
And also in relation to its elevation.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty cool. I want to wax poetic here a little bit. I think the soundtrack is my favorite part of the whole thing.
It's very good.
Lena Raine is the composer. I think the soundtrack is a big part of... You were talking about the rhythm and stuff. What really kept me going, especially in the early chapters, is how like bumping the soundtrack is.
It's
like
the whole time.
It just keeps you moving. It's very, very listenable, very melodic, incredibly groovy. And there were some parts that I swear, this is a me thing. We were talking about this recently. If a lot of like Muse stuff was happening, you know, like some of the bass parts were dun, 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 dun. I'm sure. Like, oh, this is so fucking Muse. But you know, some of it's like sort of more like Blade Runner-y,
sure,
evangelist,
sure, sure.
That kind of guy. And I did like her philosophy was that each character is represented by a different instrument.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I like different that motif, a lot, sure. As well. Like, your buddy's the kind of like a soft guitar.
You're talking about Theo.
Yeah. And it's I don't know, it's just like a lot more thoughtful than I expected.
Yes, from a sound design perspective.
Exactly. And what I love about it is I think the two strongest themes in the game are Madeline's and the evil twin. In the fan community refers to her as Badeline.
Yes.
They both have their own kind of motif or theme. Yep. And at the end, spoiler alert, they kind of reconcile and the themes merge.
Right.
And it's just... It's
very excellent. Thoughtful.
It's so good. But I love this. I was literally like just walking around listening to it on streaming and stuff. I thought it was incredible. But should we get into the story?
Yeah, I feel like that's a bulk of this game.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ah, yes, the magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus brightolus. The worm's captivating neon color makes it an easy, gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
So I'm just going to go kind of chapter by chapter here doing the highlights.
Yep, that's what I've got.
So the prologue, you have Madeline arrives at Celeste Mountain and meets the granny, who is very kind of, she's just kind of negging you.
Like, yes.
You're not gonna do it. Everybody comes here, you know. And, but you know, nevertheless, she persisted. And you have chapter one, which is the city,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a very cool location. Where you meet your buddy here, Theo, and he's like a social media like influencer.
Yep.
And
he's just here to kind of take selfies on the mountain.
Yeah, just kind of like a lot more casually than,
because
Madeline is really, you get the sense that she's doing it to challenge herself and,
yes.
and you know, get over some stuff. And it's I feel like there was a very easy way to fuck this character up, and he was endearing to me.
Yeah. I think so.
And I did want to mention early on, you see this memorial, which I thought was very poignant, and it just says dedicated to those who perished on the climb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very just kind of, it's you kind of get what it's getting at pretty early on, I think.
Yeah.
Unless you're like an idiot, like, sure. You know, like if you, okay, like you can read this game a couple different ways, but it's pretty clear to me this is about more than just mountain climbing.
Sure,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Um,
well, they also kind of tell you that. Kind of.
Yeah. But at this point in the game, it's like that's kind of your first real.
Sure.
Like nugget, I guess. But what I thought was awesome here was the dream sequence.
Where yeah.
Because you fall asleep, because I saved here. Mm-hmm. And then like when I went back into the game, like she woke up and it's like everything's different. I'm like, is that because I saved? But it's just the next part of the game. And so this is the part where you have all those like space blocks and stuff.
Yes.
And what it's another like very clearly metaphorical moment where she sees herself in the mirror. And this is where the battle line character comes out.
You know, this is actually one of the moments that surprised me in this game. I did not think we would get any fantasy elements in this game or any sort of quote unquote magical or like otherworldly. I thought it would be very I don't know what the word is, straight laced or very.
For the most part, it worked for me because it's like a dream thing.
But I feel like this game does get more fantastical as it goes, too.
Yeah. And then you kind of come back to Earth at the end. But this part reminded me a lot of Dark Rayman.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And I loved how it's really because this dark version of herself is really like trying to drag her down. Like, you know, like,
you can't do this. Why you blah, blah, blah. You're going to hurt yourself, blah, blah, blah.
And it's really effective because like to avoid her, you really have to kind of know your own capabilities.
Sure.
And, like, she is just going to mirror everything that you do. And it becomes a very interesting facet of the game where she has to reckon with this negative side of herself. Right.
Yep.
So you get shot of her for a bit, and do you remember this part with the payphone? I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, you call home, right? Do you call your mother?
Yeah. So there's two actually. One, it's reminded me a little of Disco Elysium, where she gets a call in the dream, presumably from her ex.
Yes.
And then when she wakes up, she calls her mom, and it's a very kind of just like. What am I doing here?
Yeah.
kind of moment. It's like, yeah, it's a great bit. What did you think of the hotel level?
This is where it reminds me of like Dampe, right? Or from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Where so this hotel level, this is where I said this game has more fantasy elements than I thought it would have. Essentially this, you go into this hotel and the hotel keeper is like a ghost. And he says, he's almost asking you like, oh, you're here to stay for the night. But, the place is trashed and in disarray. And it obviously there's like spikes and glowing stuff and weird shit everywhere. But he's acting as if you want to stay there as a guest.
Yeah.
And you're trying to just get through it to get to the other side.
And you have to help him like clean stuff up and stuff.
You have to help him like clean up the hotel.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it's not overtly obvious at the time that he's a ghost, right? And then it's like you kind of figure it out over.
It looks like it to me or to the player.
Right. And but on the within the character's context, they're just kind of like playing along until trying to be polite.
Well,
right?
I think what's interesting, not only about the hotel, but every chapter, not only do you get a little more story, they give you a new platforming challenge.
Yeah.
Like in the hotel, if I recall, it's you can only hold on to a platform so long because spikes will grow out of it. Spikes grow. Is that right? That was this?
Yeah, it's like a lava kind of thing.
Correct.
Like, so you can only touch the surface once.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what I have in my notes is it makes you really think about, if I can only touch the surface once, what's my move?
Yeah, and they really go nuts with that when it comes to, like, the strawberries.
Yes.
Like, it's really like, how the fuck? Because, like, okay, I can figure out how to do this once to get through the level, but how am I going to do it twice to get the strawberry? And it really makes you think outside the box. So I enjoyed this part a lot. I was kind of so on the boss fight. It was one of those situations where I was just like, that's a little too long.
Well, the boss fights are really chase sequences.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to basically just avoid, the ghost hotel manager.
Well, what happens is Battleline kind of fucks it up for you.
Yeah.
Where she says, Battleline like says to the hotel keeper, Madeline like pities you, or she's just trying to get out of here. She's just being nice to you. Like for shits.
Yeah.
She doesn't actually like you.
Right.
So then the hotel owner kind of turns into a monster and it starts a chase sequence.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this becomes kind of an undercurrent where she's sort of undermining your quest where every time you think you're making progress, she holds you back. But it's a cool bit. So chapter four is pretty much just the wind level. There's not a lot that happens narratively.
It's actually one of my favorite platforming levels in this game is the wind level.
Yeah. Anything in particular?
So I feel like I think there's a couple of wrinkles. The wind is extreme where it really affects the physics of your jumping.
Yeah.
I believe this is also where you encounter clouds that make your jumps higher if you bounce on them. Is this also the one with like the I almost said blue balls on Mike. Like
you just did.
I just did. Isn't that this too, where like you can, if you touch a blue, like one of the blue circles, you get another dash or something. I think that's also in this.
Yeah. And it's very kind of, it the wind changes direction as well.
Yes.
So you have to really be conscious of like how much oomph you're putting into your jumps and like, yes, you know, which direction you're going and stuff. I did think it was like level design wise, very creative, but just in terms of what we have to talk about narratively, not a lot. But this is also at the end of this is where Madeline has a panic attack.
Okay. So, can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah.
Am I stupid or like this took me like forever to figure out how to beat this?
It took me probably longer than it should have.
I did not, maybe I'm crazy, I did not understand for the first maybe 10 minutes of this if my control stick was controlling the feather or the box.
Right.
And then I finally figured that out.
Right.
And then it's very easy.
Yeah.
But that took me minutes upon minutes to understand what was happening.
I
she's what, having a panic attack on a Resident Evil 4 gondola.
Yes. And Theo is with you, and he says, you know, something that helped me is just imagine a feather like floating up and down and match it with your breathing.
Yes.
Right? And this is kind of, I'm pretty sure this is what leads into the feather being
the like item at the end of the game up. That helps you fly.
Yeah. Like, so you very briefly, like you turn into like a comet, and then, you know, for a couple seconds, and then it times out, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of like a metaphorical thing, but there's a little sort of mini game sort of thing where you get her over it by trying to match the pace of the feather as it goes up and down.
Yes.
And it comes back later where you just can't do it
at
all. But in this moment, I agree with you where I was like, I thought, because this is the first time something in this game happened like this.
Yep.
I didn't realize that it was interactive at first.
Yes, exactly.
So I was like, is this a cutscene? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, but, is this a cinematic? And I'm like, which item am I controlling? I don't get it.
Right, yeah. So I figured that out eventually, but definitely pretty weird. But the next one is the Mirror Temple. Did you like this one?
So this one I found to be a little bit irritating because it was so dark and there are so many secret passageways to strawberries.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what the real path was at so many points.
That's an issue I have with a lot of games where it's like, I wish the signposting was clear where if you just want to stick to the main path, like stick to the main path, or if you want to... I hate it when I'm looking for extras in a game and I get locked out of them because I accidentally picked the main path.
Yes.
It's like either or. I need that to be clear in games in general.
And is this the one where Theo gets trapped in a crystal?
Yes.
Can I tell you something funny? I have a note written down here as a comparison game. I hope you have this. It reminds me of when you play in Jabu Jabu's belly as young Link in Ocarina of Time. You can carry
the princess,
Rudo, and throw her around.
Yeah,
and I reminded me exactly of that.
I'm sure that was an influence. But what I was surprised about was how I thought it was going to be a lot more cumbersome.
Yes.
It's very fluid. Like he's not like heavy or anything like that. Like he gets so this place is the Mirror Temple. It's Theo gets like trapped in a mirror.
In a mirror of some kind.
And there's like monsters that are coming out of the walls and stuff. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And Madeline gets sucked into a mirror, and this is kind of where you learn that the mountain operates on like Silent Hill rules.
Yep.
Where it's like kind of just taking her inner demons and transforming them into like real things and stuff.
Yep.
And you basically, so he's stuck in this giant Princess Zelda crystal. And you throw him through the big eyeball.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And that kills the monster. Yeah, it's one of those things where we're very much divorced from reality at this point, but it's
correct.
I'm still having a good time, but the next chapter, it is mostly just kind of regaining lost ground where Madeline has another panic attack. And it's exacerbated by Battleline, who is influencing you. You can't control the feather, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
And you fall a great distance down, like you
print. Right. This is like the what is this called? Like in narrative structure, when it's almost like the later conflict where you've come so far up this peak and now you've crashed all the way back down.
It's that low point before the climax.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's so you seemingly lose all this progress, and you wind up in this strange area full of like Mario thwomps. Do you remember these guys?
Yes.
And you run into the granny again, and she keeps trash talking you. It's like I could use some encouragement right
now.
Yeah,
exactly. I think now, is it the granny who encourages you to embrace Battleline, or is that you?
Yeah. Well, because at first she's really kind of dragging you down, and then a little bit further into it, she's like, "Why don't you just like try to hash it out, right?"
Yeah.
And that's this is another part where I like the idea of it a lot, and I liked playing it, but I thought it went on like really long.
Is this the Battleline boss fight, quote
where
unquote,
where you have to chase her?
Yeah. This is so fucking long.
Yeah.
Like I have in my notes, the Battleline final boss is so goddamn long. Like, what was this, 30, 40 minutes plus of you? It's fucking crazy.
Well, because it is also abiding by the principal thing where it's all like trial and error.
And
it's very,
there's no pace to this boss because you keep failing.
Figuring out what, like, where do I have to jump? What do I have to do? And it's, like the music is great at the time, and it's kind of powering you through it, but it is kind of, like I said, it's not like it's hard, like I'm complaining that it's hard or it's tedious. It's just like,
it's doable. It's just it's so long. There are so many scenes and so many challenges just to embrace her and be done with this.
But do you know what it reminded me of? Because we were talking about this is going to go back to last season and the season before, where we made a comparison where Genesis Noir, with the finale of that game that went on for like an hour.
Yes.
And it's like, I was comparing it to Journey, where the climax of Journey is what, like 5 minutes?
It's very short.
And it's really like, that's what it should, like your emotional catharsis does, like it loses its impact if it goes on for too long.
Correct.
You know?
You just kind of stop caring about what you're doing.
It's like, I know my objective. I know I've surpassed all these challenges. Like, just give it to me.
You know what I mean?
Like,
yes.
It's just, I understand the struggle, but at a certain point I gotta,
enough.
We gotta say enough here, but
correct.
No, otherwise it's, you know, I think it's a successful chapter otherwise, you know, kind of for the characters. And then you kind of make your way back up the mountain using the feathers.
Yep.
So you regain all that lost progress. And you also get the second dash here, which adds a whole
other... Yeah, I didn't expect this, where because Madeline and Battleline kind of form into one person, the game now implements a second dash.
Yeah.
Which, you know, complicates what this already masochistic experience.
Yeah, but it is a little like, so what it does is it makes certain things a little bit more doable, at least at first, and then of course they start throwing like the curveballs at you. It's like,
yeah,
how are you gonna work this into the gameplay?
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the final story chapter, is the summit here.
Yes.
Of the mountain. And you kind of get like miniature redos of the previous chapters here.
Yep, they make you sort of retread what you've learned in every chapter. And I think it's kind of cool about this, where they have like the mile markers or something, where they're telling you there are only 15 checkpoints to go, 14, 13, so they kind of count it down.
One of my favorite parts of this whole thing is, we didn't mention it, it's a very tiny part of the game. There's a couple of those like viewing scopes, like, you know, the things that you put a quarter in.
Yep.
And you can see a great distance. There's one here where you can see the top of the mountain with the flag, and all the sound starts to drop out, and it's like, holy fuck, there it is.
Got it.
You know, I love that part.
Yep.
That was great. And of course, eventually, if you got what it takes, you reach the top.
Yes.
And you sit there with Battleline, and I did feel at the end of it, I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah, you know? Like, you do get a holy shit feeling that you did it.
Right.
For sure.
After all that strife, and you're kind of just in the same place as the character is, you know? And, you know, in the ending, you get a reunion with all the other characters, and What I like is you're gonna.
I was gonna ask you about the cake.
Yes.
So I have a question for you. I didn't look this up.
Mm-hmm.
The more strawberries you get, is the cake better?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's great, right?
What are the benchmarks? Do you know? Like, how did yours go over with the crowd? Did they love it?
Yeah, it's like so. I looked up the different. I think if you get nothing, everyone's just like,
yeah.
And then like mine, everyone was like pretty happy with it. But there's ones that like if you get like every strawberry, there's all this like icing and
amazing
like ice cream and all this stuff on it. I think that's great. Is that like she makes a pie out of it at the end? Like,
yeah.
And depending on how many,
like, because I only got like 12 or 15. They said the family members and friends said to me, "Well, I guess this is a strawberry pie or is a strawberry whatever they make."
Yeah,
I guess it is.
It's pretty funny, but yeah, it's. Their reactions depend on how many you collected. Lastly, like there's I didn't mess around with this, but there's some post game stuff.
Yes.
Where chapter 8 is like a challenge level inside the mountain, where she comes back later. And chapter 9 was added as a patch.
Oh.
And it is I cannot. I think it's like you know that level in Rayman Origins, the land of the dead or whatever,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Where it's like you can't die, like
yes.
You have to complete all in one go. That's what this is.
Got it.
And it's basically it's just a small postscript. It's after the granny dies.
Sure.
So Madeline just comes and visits her and kind of lets go of it. That's it for the story. So I'd like to get into the conclusion. If you're up for it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I thought it was really interesting about how, so there's obviously a lot of ways you could read this game in terms of, it really resonated with me because it's, there's so much, like, even, I think the creator of this game is transgender, and I think a lot of it is coming out, is, you know, it's about the struggle of coming out, you know, one way or another, and for me, it really hit just as a matter of like personal struggle.
Sure.
Like even without like, you know, because I'm not transgender, but like in terms of the voice of like the negative voice in your head, like telling
yes.
you can't do it or like
correct.
Every little failure is like, see, I told you, you know,
right.
Like and that kind of thing. And it's just trying to
beat you down, right?
It's trying to beat you down. And it's not only overcoming that, but also accepting that part of yourself and like trying to turn it into a strength, like when they wind up collaborating.
But when they winded up collaborating, I wasn't sure if Madeline was going to kill Madeline or they were going to join up. Like,
right.
I didn't know if she was going to be like, no, I'm defeating this demon, we're done.
Right.
No, but they actually like come together, which is kind of an odd choice, right?
Yeah, and it comes together in the gameplay sense too,
right.
Which mm-hmm. is cool. But in terms of like, it seems to mean that kind of thing to a lot of people. And I really admire how grueling it was. Just respect,
yes.
Out of respect to.
Do you remember what your death counter was?
A lot.
Was it over 1,000? Mine was.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not something. I mean, I remember my strawberries like super quick, but it was
sure.
definitely up there. And it's I went out for a lot of strawberries too, so
right,
my
right,
death
right,
count was
right.
probably even higher than yours.
Right.
But I did think it was you know, trying to really wrestle my thoughts here. The team allegedly did not consult with mental health professionals. They just made it the narrative sort of a collective autobiography of all their own experiences. Trying to take care to fine tune the dialogue to be as sensitive as possible. How well would you say that it all comes together? And do you see the appeal?
I see the appeal from a gamer's game perspective. I remember when I kind of got my ass kicked online for saying I haven't played it.
Yeah.
So many people said, dude, you haven't played Celeste. The gameplay rocks. Like everyone loves this game.
Right.
Right. And, when it comes to more of the metaphorical stuff, I think some of the stuff that's a little bit easier is the, like, you know, your things are trying to beat you down. You're trying to get to this mountaintop to almost to prove that you can.
Yeah.
Right. Or you're trying to get over something. That something is maybe the negativity of this battle line, other side of it that tells you can't do anything. You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. And those are the things that jumped out to me that I think are a little bit easier to
not easier to understand, but are more apparent.
Universal.
Yeah, more. Yeah, or at least they're, yeah, more.
What
in
I
your
say
face.
In the groups, I said it's like it feels like doing push-ups. This
yeah.
game.
Yeah, yeah, know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really like that occasionally where, like I said, there's a couple moments that didn't necessarily feel the fairest, but it didn't feel like torturous.
Yep.
It was just kind of this is what it is, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like it's the it's not undoable.
Yeah.
Like it's all doable.
Yes.
Right. And it's I like playing a game that isn't going to just like I didn't like there's some sequences in this game that were just absolutely ball breaking.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yep.
But it just in my when I think about this game, I do have a positive view of it.
Yeah, like I remember my not trepidation about playing this game, but a little bit of me of my hesitation to start it, not years ago, but within the past month or two. People tell me this game is really difficult, like it's gonna break my back to beat this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I typically like games like that, but I'm like, man, how much brutal platforming do I want? Right? And then
how pixel perfect am I gonna have to be?
Right, right.
And it's pretty strict. But it's
yes,
for
it
some, something about it just kept me going. Like there's enough encouragement. Like I said, the music is great. Oh, the visuals are great. The whole thing is like very clearly intent. Like I think in the very beginning, there is a message like you can do this.
Yeah.
Right. And I like that about it where it's recognizing that life is difficult, but it's empowering you to handle it. I was going to ask you if you think any lessons can be learned from the development of this game, like positive or negative.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. I think I would go back to what I was saying about like this game compared to like Rayman Origins and Legends.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, did I enjoy playing this game? Yes. I think they didn't give you enough moments of what I would call like rhythm or pacing where, man, I'm really flying through this. This is clicking. We're getting through scene after scene after scene. Mm-hmm. I'm flying. We're jumping.
Yeah.
It's a lot of jump, dead, dead, yeah, yeah. dead, 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 over and yeah. over and over. That's what bogs this down for me,
yeah.
right? Even though the game is explicit where they explicit in the sense where they tell you, yeah, you're going to die a lot. That's okay. It's about learning.
Yeah.
I wish there were a few more moments where you're really flying. You never do.
Yeah, like, unless you're like a pro who has played this like five times or something.
Never.
Like on your first try.
Yeah, never.
Even up like the last couple screens, like I was still like,
yeah,
all right,
I
I'm
know.
Falling.
You yeah, know, like, correct.
That's it. But no, I think in terms of the lessons that can be learned is that it is they have a very specific idea for this game.
Yes.
And it's start to finish, like it's complete. All the level design and the challenges are very thoughtful.
This game like does feel unique to me. Even isn't that interesting though, where there's a lot of 16-bit stuff going around.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of platforming stuff going around, but the way this game combines those items is kind of unique. Mm-hmm. I don't really see a lot of games that play and sound and feel and have this kind of intention.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
At least all put together as a package.
Yeah. That's the thing about it is that it's a very, And to think that it all came out of that little tiny 8-bit version is really something. It's really just extrapolating that idea of, you know, even going back to like Donkey Kong, like going up,
yes.
you know, and just trying to really boil down the challenge of a game into this rock climbing, mountain climbing experience.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one of the biggest accomplishments is just how specific it is,
mm-hmm.
and comprehensive it is. And something else that I think is I mentioned it already, but like the approach to accessibility is very
sure.
kind of humble. And it's like acknowledging that it's just one specific limitation of wanting to reach a wider audience is you have to include accessibility options.
Right.
And it's no matter how like intricate you want the clockwork to be, you know, there's going to be some artistic concessions.
Yes.
I think it was very well eloquently put the way
mm-hmm.
she designed it, but I think it's a great game. I think I am going with a B+ on
okay.
this one. What do you think?
That's what do I want to give this game as a grade? I think this, okay, I'm going to say this. I think I'm going to go with you that this is a B+ game. I would say it, like in terms of my enjoyment, it's probably a little bit lower because
mm-hmm.
I'm just yeah, I like platforming games, but it's not like my, like, oh man, like I'm not going to go pursue the strawberries and the challenges kind of stuff. But I would say, like, in terms of what the vision was, what the intention is, and how it all comes together, and it is so, like, it is so tight in terms of the balancing, I think you have to go pretty high.
It's really like it's yeah, like it, I think it there's a couple spots for improvement, but it's really just nice that they gave a shit.
Yeah.
It's like
a lot of giving, like, a shit in this one.
So much, you know, like care and you know, detail put into everything. I think it's a great game. I'm glad we covered it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll cover some fine indies in the future.
Are you wrapped on Celeste?
I'm wrapped on Celeste.
Okay. Thank you guys, and we will see you next time on Goddamn GameCube. Thank you.